In the name of Jesus, amen. If you wanted to find Jesus on the Sabbath, you went to the synagogue. Sometimes he would teach, as was customary for learned rabbis. St. Mark says that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not like the scribes, the professional clergy. What made Jesus different was what he said and how he said it. What distinguished Jesus from the scribes is that he didn't use footnotes. Scribe would repeat what he had learned. I was taught by Rabbi so-and-so, who was taught by Rabbi so-and-so, on and on and on back, sometimes to Moses. Not so with Jesus. You have heard it said, but I say to you. Jesus' teaching came with the authority of Almighty God, the Lord Yahweh, and there is no higher authority than that. Jesus' words are God's words. His teaching is God's teaching. And his teaching astounded the people. The Greek word there for teaching is didache. The Latin form is doctrina. It's where we get the English word doctrine. Some people think, though, that doctrine is a dirty theological word. They may say, we need no doctrine but the Bible, or the Bible unites, doctrine divides. The trouble with that way of thinking is that the Bible is doctrine, and it was written for the purpose of teaching doctrine. If you aren't teaching doctrine, then you aren't teaching the Bible. So we aren't told exactly what Jesus said that day in the synagogue that amazed the people so much. But you can bet that it wasn't too different from what you heard last week. Repent, that is, believe the gospel. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. This is what Jesus taught. The fullness of the preached law convicted his hearers of their guilt. The sweetness of the gospel poured forgiveness into their ears. And whether you know it or not, there is nothing more dangerous to the devil and to his demons than for Christians to know their doctrine, to know what they believe about Christ their Savior, and why they believe it. St. Mark writes, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And so the order of the synagogue service is disrupted. Satan delights in stirring up chaos in the church. Often under the guise of praise. He saves his greatest mischief for inside the church, closest to the word and the sacraments, where Christ and the forgiveness of sins are most present. He even sounds religious when he speaks. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It sounds like pious praise, doesn't it? But it's really just a devilish distraction. The devil disguises himself, St. Paul says, as an angel of light. Remember, not every spirit is the Holy Spirit, and not all pious-sounding praise comes from God. Jesus certainly is the Holy One of God, but not the way that that demon proclaimed him to be. The devil's desire then, and still is now, to separate Christ from his cross. Then it was to short-circuit the road to Golgotha. And that's what lies behind the devil's temptation to Jesus later in Mark's gospel, to turn stones into bread, to jump off the top of the temple, to bow down and worship him. The devil's temptation was for Jesus to be a power and glory and prosperity Christ rather than a crucified and dead Christ. It's still like that today. All kinds of people like to talk about Jesus, but they like to talk about him as anything but Jesus the Savior or Jesus the Crucified. Even though St. Paul very clearly says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So all these works of the devil are meant to blind people to who Jesus really is and what Jesus became flesh to do, to live, to suffer, to die, to rise again, all for you. The demon even uses Isaiah's label for the Messiah, the Holy One of God. In St. Mark's Gospel, though, only when Jesus hangs dead on the cross does he allow himself to be called the Son of God publicly. And then it's by a Gentile soldier. So for St. Mark, only on the cross is Jesus the Son of God, the Holy One of God, for you and for your salvation. So with a word, just a word, Jesus silences the demon in the synagogue. Femophete, be silent. It's the same word that Jesus used to silence the wind and the waves that threatened to swamp the disciples' boat during that storm on the Sea of Galilee. Be silent. Come out. It almost sounds like Jesus is scolding a puppy for chewing on a sofa cushion. Demons are absolutely no threat to him. A couple of firm words is all it takes to keep him in line. Nothing at all like exorcisms that we see from Hollywood. The littleness of the word that stops the devil accents the authority that lies behind it. It's Jesus' authority. And in the end, all demons must obey the word of Christ Jesus, because Jesus is Lord even over the devil, even over his demons. And this is the authority that astounded the people in the synagogue. What is this, they ask? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. And underneath those words, there's more than just a hint of fear and awe in their exclamations. Who is this guy? At first, they were afraid of the demons. Now they fear the Lord. And in the fear of the Lord, there is, as the psalmist says, the beginning of wisdom and the end of all fear, because the Lord himself is greater than all the demons. Now, this wasn't just persuasive preaching from a nice preacher. This was doctrine. This was teaching that silences these demons. And even if the demons obey his word, what is left that Jesus can't do with his word? Changes water into wine. He calms the winds and the waves. He cleanses the lepers. He heals the paralyzed. He raises the dead. He forgives sins. He declares sinners to be saints. His word alone makes simple water into holy water, a holy baptism, a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. His word makes simple bread and wine his own body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. His word makes faith in you. His word delivers to you forgiveness and life. It's a word that comes with the full authority of Jesus, the Son of God, the one to whom alone has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, who exercised the authority given to him by giving his life in exchange for the world, his life for you. And so his word comes backed with his cross. That cross on Golgotha is Jesus' authority in action. When he cast out the demons with his word, it was already in view of his death on the cross by which he achieved the ultimate and final victory over sin, over death, over the devil, and all of his demons. So whenever and wherever Jesus' word is heard, it is in view of his death by which he won the victory for you. What it means for you is that the word of forgiveness that the Lord speaks to his church today through his called and ordained servants of the word can be heard with the full authority of the crucified and risen Christ. So when you hear the words, as you did a few minutes ago right here, "I forgive you all your sins," those words come to you fully authorized by the one who died and rose again for your sins. So it's not the pastor's "I," but Christ's. It's not the pastor's word, it is Christ's word. And so it's not the pastor's forgiveness, but Christ's. It's not the pastor's authority to forgive, but Christ's. Nor is it the pastor's doctrine, or Zion's doctrine, or even Lutheran doctrine, but Christ's doctrine. It is his teaching. It is his voice. It is his word that is to be heard. And what an amazing word it is. What an amazing teaching. What an amazing doctrine. It silences the demons. It brings joy to God's people. And you have Christ's word on it. For he speaks with authority. Amen.